Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello! Once again, this is another exciting edition of Inside the Movies and More. My name is Scott. Sorry, guys, I have a little bit of technical difficulties, but we are on the air, and we are here having a brand new episode. We have so much things to talk about today, and as my co-host, Don Theo, are you in the building?
Yo, 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 I'm right in here. What's going on, buddy?
Fantastic. Yeah, man, it's been a while since we've done one of these shows. We do thank you guys for so much of your patience, but Vism Studios has been hard at work behind the cameras bringing you two new exciting films, one called Lucky Day as well as Silent Worst. Two different spectrum of the genre. One's a comedy, one's an inspirational. We have many other film projects we're going to be bringing to you for your enjoyment. So you can actually catch both those projects debuting here, hopefully by the end of this month, one of them, and also in April, as well as it's going to be doing some film festival circuits as well. So we have so many things to talk about here today. And, you know, in the movie world, there's so things that drop online and in Hollywood at the very last minute. And we have some exciting things happening in movie news here. Don, did you by any chance catch what dropped today, the latest Avenger 1 minute TV spot that was out there?
I did. I actually just saw it maybe 20 minutes ago when you told me that it was out there. And, it looks good. I'll tell you what. The Incredible Hulk has never looked better. I know a lot of people are buzzing about Captain America right now, but, man, the Incredible Hulk just looks fierce. Can't wait to see that Hulk.
I know. You know, we've seen the I agree with you 150%. If you pull up in a comic book and you look at a comic book now, he's matching the comic book. You know, we're not gonna talk about the very first Hulk movie made by Ang Lee. That wasn't Hulk. That was Godzilla-esque monster. Now, I did love, you know, when they sort of did a reboot, Marvel's first, you know, Marvel Studios' second movie, was Incredible Hulk with Edward Norton. And that was still fantastic. I mean, that was a very fantastic film. But what Mark Ruffalo is doing with this character is utterly amazing. Now, a fun fact for all those that are listening. I don't know, Don, do you know who, maybe you know this as well, or maybe it's news to you as well, I'm about to announce, but Andy Serkis was a huge consultant, as well as I think he, of course, it looks like he's in the movie, Avengers Age of Ultron. But he also was a huge consultant. I also think he also worked in the motion capture suit with Mark Ruffalo, bringing the Incredible Hulk to life in this film.
Well, I think that's one of the advantages that you find with Marvel getting control back is that, you know, there's they're going to be true to the comics. They're going to be true to the actual books, to the source material. And that was one thing that seems to be kind of seeping from this Avengers thing, is it does kind of feels like the comic book. Again, this is just, you know, based on the trailer, but I think it's going to be a good film. I think they've lined up some great talent there. And I think, you know, it's kind of like that whole, not to jump to a different universe, but like with Batman, with DC, is that was always the challenge, is how do you find a guy in the films and in any formation, how do you find a guy that's going to be a good enough Bruce Wayne that's also a good enough Batman? I think, and I appreciate that debate. I love that debate. But I think that debate is much stronger when you look at a character like Hulk, because, you know, with technology and everything, we can handle creating Hulk. We need a really good Bruce Banner, and Ruffalo is one of the best actors out there. And I gotta say, I think they're just lucky to have an actor. They've got some actors of great caliber out there. You've got Downey in there. You've got Ruffalo, who's you know, Oscar level talent. They've got some great talent out there, and I think that's really what's going to make. I think Ultron's going to be the Avengers movie, really, when you look back at it.
Absolutely, I agree with you 150% with that. I mean, they got one of my favorite actors, James Spader. You know, they got James Spader, boy, he's Ultron. And what we've seen with little they've shown us is, my goodness, you couldn't get a cast so amazing to make this movie happen. And now, there's two characters in there that I am a little bit on the concern about. Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. I'm a little concerned because the last trailer they had, Quicksilver's accent was like, really? Really? You're doing an accent? But all due fairness, he has, I don't even remember even in the animated series or anything like them having an accent, but who knows? And that was a little disconcerting. But my gosh, you know, the humor that Marvel brings even in their movies. You know, granted, Age of Ultron is a very dark film, but the humor they bring, which you saw, was great when they're talking about when they in the trailer. If you've not seen it, we're not really spoiling it because it's out there. So I mean, if you haven't seen
it's all over the place.
You're under a rock. When Robert Downey's character, Tony Stark, when Maria Hill, one of the actors, one of the characters from the first Avengers, when she was with S.H.I.E.L.D., now people are following the TV series. Maria Hill now works for Tony Stark. She tells Tony Stark, like, he's the boss, like, hey, where do you want to go from there? And he gives a Starky remark that I'm not the boss, and he points to Captain America. He's the boss, but I have all the toys and all the stuff and the money and everything like that, but I'm not the boss. I love the banter. I love what they're going to be doing with this, and it still brings a very Marvel-esque film, having that there. And, my goodness, just a quick little fight scenes you saw when Captain America is riding his motorcycle, flips off the motorcycle, grabs the motorcycle and throws it and slams it into that vehicle. Holy cow. And then you have Thor, and then Captain America throws his shield and Thor knocks it into a robot. It's going to be, there's not a excitement of beyond belief. And it's going to be, I think, you know, it's going to be very, very, of course, the number one at the box office, I think, for a couple weeks running. But people got to understand is, you know, DC, I love superhero movies from, and I don't want to just, we're going to change over to a different subject. We're going to from this to something completely different here shortly. But I love superheroes, characters. I grew up with them. I love Batman. I love Superman. I'm now, if you ask me to pick my side, who would I go with? Yeah, I would go more Marvel. I'm a big, huge Spider-Man fan. I'm a diehard Spider-Man fan. And my personal friends in my inner sanctum, watching my personal Facebook post here, see that I'm going through a sort of a transformation training to don a red and blue costume for a comic book.
It would be really hard to find one of those radioactive spiders, and we haven't been able to find one. So instead, you've gone to a personal trainer. And so that personal trainer is going to help with imbuing you with the spidey nascence. So, hey, you know, those radioactive spiders, they only come around every once in a while.
Man,
so
you know,
that would be the easy way out,
but
I haven't found one. I think you can get one on the internet for like $599.
You know, they'll ship it to you in a beautiful container. You know, that's how you can buy something. You know, it's gonna have like a little slide here where you bite your mouth, you know, on your hand. But yeah, I wish they had that spider. You trust me, $500, give me 10.
Yeah.
but my luck, the spider bite me, and next thing you know, I'm shooting webs at my butt. But side effects, you know, and you look at it, it's like, darn, it's from China. Anyways, moving on here, it's going to look great. I'm excited, can't wait. It's coming out here in the next, May 1st. It's wide released. If you're in AMC area, you can do the double feature. They're going to be doing it April 30th, where you can see Avengers. Nice. And then after Avengers, they're going to show Avengers Age of Ultron. So you can see both Avenger movies on the silver screen. And if you really want to really binge, you have the Marvel Ultimate Marathon, where it's pretty much a two-day event, where they're going to show the very first Iron Man movie and go all the way through every movie.
Wow.
Until Age of Ultron. So
that's going to take a lot of popcorn.
A lot of popcorn, a lot of pee-pee breaks. And I looked at the list here, like starts at like noon of the day before, and it doesn't end till midnight or like 11:30, 8 o'clock.
Nice.
The next night.
Lock up the kids, go do it.
Yeah, I can't. There's no way. I might do the double feature. I might do the double feature, but not the other one.
Yeah.
But, guys, so, you know, Marvel's kicking DC's butt. I mean, they really are. I mean, DC is just twiddling their fingers. Now, I will tell you this. I am in love. I love the Flash TV series. What they're doing with that series and the writing is amazing. I feel like I'm watching a small movie on there, and the cast they have is fantastic. The writing is fantastic. So if you haven't seen the TV Flash on CW, you're going to want to go over there. And I think it's in 2 weeks. It comes on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. every Tuesday. And I think not this one, but the next one, special guest Mark Hamill is going to be on Luke, as well as, if people know the 90s series, Flash TV series, he played a villain called the Trickster.
And
he will be the Trickster again. Now, also, fun fact here, if you watch him play the Trickster, hear his voice fluctuation, he sounds like something that he's known iconically for in the animated world. He's played, of course,
right,
people, if you haven't known this yet, he's played the Joker's voice. For
right,
the Batman animated series, and still one of the most iconic Joker voice of all time. Well, he actually, that's where they actually saw him with that voice, was when he played the Trickster. So we might get that iconic voice back, of course, in being in the series. Now, also, a movie that's out right now that Mark Hamill's in, I'm plugging his movies right now, he's in a very, very big cameo. Okay, well, not really a cameo scene. He had a little scene in there. Was called The Kingsman. Now, if you have not seen The Kingsman, it is an action-packed fighting movie about the like an MI6 special ops British secret agency. It's high octane. It's fun, and Mark Hamill's actually in there. He plays a professor, and the voice that he dons in that movie is the Joker voice. So it's pretty cool hearing that Joker voice in there. So if you haven't checked the Flash TV series, go check it out. Two thumbs up. Now, counterpart The Arrow, that came out before The Flash, it's getting a little weak sauce right now. I think they need to spruce it up and get some new writing in there. But you check it out. It's on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. And also on Tuesdays, a double feature for me because I like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. get really good with Daisy Quake and the Inhumans. So if you're a big Inhumans fan, you're like, well, Scott, what's the Inhumans? Look it up on Wikipedia. It's a very, very quintessential piece to the Marvel Cinematic Universe as well, because Marvel has a movie coming out in 2019 called The Inhumans. So it's a very quintessential piece circle going on, and very excited what they're doing with that. And I don't know, have you catched any of The Flash or Agents of the Shield or any of those?
No, I haven't. I'm pretty hardcore Marvel guy, but I do know that there is a pretty interesting story going on within the DC world right now regarding Batgirl.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
You're talking about the recent variant cover that came out that is
right,
stirring
right.
controversy.
And here's the basic idea is, you know, any of our listeners that are comic book collectors know that there are variant covers, you know, for collectors that's not the one that you see on the, you know, when you go into the comic book store. It's not the one on the front of the rack. It's a you know, a variant that they Batgirl commissions dozens of these. And this is for Batgirl number 41. And there was the artist that drew this variant cover. His name is Rafael Albuquerque, and he was paying homage to what is probably one of the biggest pieces of obviously the biggest piece of Batgirl canon, but also a very big piece of the Joker story, and it was a graphic novel called The Killing Joke. And again, many of our listeners are going to be familiar with the actual graphic novel. It's when Batgirl was kidnapped and by Joker, and you know, Joker tormented her, and then she ended up in a wheelchair. And it's become a really iconic book because of the fact that, you know, a lot of DC fans out there will say, well, we love that book because that gave us the Oracle. You know, where Barbara, the you know, the Batgirl, she was you know, in a wheelchair, and she played the part of the Oracle. But there's a variant cover that was done by this artist Rafael Albuquerque, and it garnered a lot of controversy and was pulled actually by the artist. The artist asked for DC was going to stick with it, but the artist asked for it to be pulled because there's a huge backlash on Twitter and on social media. And I took a look at it, and basically what if I could describe it in words, the way that I would describe it is the Joker is standing right behind her, and he's got his hand in the, you know, shaped like a gun, you know, the finger gun thing, pointed to her cheek. She's got this terrorized look in her eyes. She's got the Batgirl mask on, but she's also got on the bottom half of her face, it's covered in Joker makeup. And I guess a lot of people got upset about this because they felt that it somehow, it somehow represented violence towards women or whatever else. But there was just as much of an upheaval from fans of the art that said that, you know, why are we getting so politically correct these days that we have to pull something like this? It's actually a really cool cover. It's a really creepy cover that this artist did in homage to The Killing Joke. And I looked at it. I can't find anything offensive about it. In fact, I think it's actually really, really cool. But it was pulled. But there's this big petition that's been signed where people are trying to get it back on the shelves. But it's not going to happen. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate to see art censored in any way, and comic book cover art, man. You know, that's part of art. That's one of the many venues that really great artists have to put forth their ideas, and you know, it was the essence of evil, this cover was. And you can still find it online, but you're not going to find it in the store, unfortunately.
Well, all those people that bought that book, was it already published out there, Don?
It was out there. It was out there. So there are several copies floating out there. And, you know, I don't know, it, you know, if you want to put your tinfoil hat on, then you can assume that maybe this was a big publicity stunt by DC, which I don't think you can do that, because I mean the all the controversy and all of the upheaval was done from users on. It was a big Twitter thing. A lot of Twitter users got up and they were upset about
that. That's a shame. That's a shame with this.
It is a shame.
You know, this political PC universe that we live in, people got to grow a backbone. And you know what? It gets to the point, when are we going to, you're never going to appease everybody's emotions. Oh, my God, that tree offended me. Cut the tree down. Why? The tree was just dead.
I'll get really, because this is something I've been pretty calm about this so far, but I'll just get right out and say it. Look at the sculpture of David by Michelangelo. It's a man with his pee-pee hanging out. Okay, now and these days, you know, I'm sure a lot of people. But this was centuries ago, and this thing is considered an amazing piece of art. And because you put makeup on Batgirl's face. And then if you go look at the cover, it's really well done. I mean, you can see the terror in her face, and it's so Joker and it's so DC. I mean, especially the Batman imprint with DC. It's meant to be dark, and it's so dark and delightful. And I can't figure out why people get upset about this. And once you start censoring there, then. Jesus, let's all just go move to Russia, you know?
It's good. You know, that's one thing here is freedom of expression, you know, and art, you know, as a filmmaker, you know, I love the freedom and liberty that I can create something out of my brain, put it on paper, take it off from paper, put it on, and get the cameras rolling and bring it to life. You know, and I do, and at the same token, I'm very blessed to live in one of the greatest countries of all of the world that I can have the liberty to do that. But you cannot, and I'm not going on a political rant whatsoever because I'm wondering we're going to shift this real quick, but that's just absurd. That was absurd that I got to, you know, the whole cover, I got to see the cover. The whole cover is showing the psychopath, the Joker. At the point of, on a breaking point of a superhero, scaring a superhero out of her to death. And if no one, apparently there's people that are Twitter like yanking and go, oh my God, they probably never picked up a comic book in their life. They probably don't even know who the Joker is. They don't know who Batgirl is. And they've never even read the book. So, you know, poo-poo on them and sit down, eat your cake, and shut up, and leave that world alone if you're not knowing that world. Because those that are curious and say, what's wrong with the cover, they're in that world.
Now, listen, if you are familiar with the story, The Killing Joke, and if you're familiar with that, that was a dark story, especially for its time. It was dark. And that cover captured the essence of how dark that story actually was so well. That I'm thinking to myself that the people that are in uproar over this thing obviously are not familiar with the actual. If they were familiar with the actual content of the story, they would be upset at the guy that originally wrote it. You know, decades ago, they wouldn't be upset at Albuquerque writing or capturing it in art. I cannot find anything offensive about it. I think it's a really, really well done cover, and I think it's a shame that at the same time, it kind of makes me happy because here's this great piece of art that probably would not have been realized by mainstream America, non comic book people, if it had not garnered the controversy that it did. So, accidental thumbs up. You know what I mean? I mean, like accidentally. That a lot more people are going to see that cover because of these poo-poo heads that want to say that there's something offensive about it.
Well, you know, and all those that purchased the variant cover, first off, people don't know what a variant is. We're going to backtrack real quick. A variant is a very limited release. It's a collector.
Yeah.
Not so many covers are out there like Don said earlier. So for those that have purchased the variant, it's really a rare limited release, and you're just.
Oh, I want one, man. I want one. I'm sure they're like. Those things have got to be like $300 on eBay right now since they pulled it.
They're laughing themselves to the bank. You're right.
So, glad I look, got this this offensive cover.
Absolutely. Now, looking here, we have literally here less than 2 minutes left here. So I just want to jump into another thing here. There's a movie trailer out there for a film that was the creators and producers of, if anyone's seen the movie Marley and Me, you know how that is an amazing film. It does take you on a very strong emotional roller coaster about an animal, about a dog. So, and they're good at it. They're very successful at it. So they went at it again with a new movie. Now, it's a completely different movie. It's not Marley and Me. It's called Max. And Max is dealing with an owner. His owner is a military soldier. And what you come to find out in the trailer, check it out, we're going to really briefly here, is the family has two sons. Of course, the one son's in the military, and the other son is very young, focused in video games, stuff like that. Long story short, in the trailer, you've come to find out that the family's oldest son has died in the military, and their dog that was so attached to his owner won't let anyone touch him. Would want to snap at him, bite him, and showing you this journey of this dog and the younger brother bonding with it. And it's a really cool story. And I'm telling you, I can already tell you, I was tearing up in the trailer knowing, man, these guys are, these producers of Marley and Me are at it again. I'm a dog owner. It's going to just rip my heart out and put it back in and make me cry like a blubbering idiot. But yeah, Max looks like a fantastic film. It has Thomas Hayden Church in it. It has Robbie Amell in it. It has a really decent, really good cast for what this movie is going to be about.
You know what? And I'll tell you this: I'm not a dog owner, but I have several friends that have served overseas, and a couple of them that rescued dogs in Afghanistan and brought them back, and the bond that they have, it's I'll tell you what, I can't wait to go see this film, and it's just because it's, bring the Kleenex, bring the tissues, because that one's going to just be, it's going to pull the heartstrings, and who doesn't love a good dog story? This is going to be so good. I didn't know about this until you mentioned it to me earlier, and yeah, let's go see it. That's the kind of movies America needs these days, you know? We need movies about Max. Sounds great.
Absolutely.
So it's from the same producers as the same crew from Marley and Me.
That is correct, Marley and Me.
Nice.
And it looks like it's gonna be one of those great films, because it's also showing animals having post-traumatic stress disorder after being fighting overseas with in the military. Because also got to factor in, a lot of people have to understand that, yes, our men and women are fighting over there, but we have a lot of dogs that fight for our country, too, that are soldiers in the military. And this is going to shine a different light on it. I'm very, very excited to see it. The cast looks great. Guys. That would be a wrap up of Inside the Movies and More. Any final thoughts, Don? I know Biblio Circus has been on a quick little hiatus here, with spring break and everything going on. But I know that it's. Do you have any ETA, kind sir, of when
yeah,
the
yeah,
band
yeah.
will
we'll,
be able to get...
we'll be on Saturday at 6 o'clock. And also next time on Inside the Movies and More, I think one of the things that we might want to look at is there's some remakes coming up. Let's talk about the rebooting of Scarface and a couple of other things.
Mad Max. Yeah, we're gonna definitely tackle on Scarface, because now Scarface is in L.A. and he's Mexican, and they haven't really brought anything else plot. So we've had an Italian, we've had a Cuban. Now we're going Mexican. So
that's right. We'll talk about that next time, and many other things too. Can't wait.
Absolutely. Well, once again, guys, thank you guys for tuning in to Inside the Movies and More. Share it with your friends. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can catch us at VISM Studios at facebook.com/TheVISM Studios. You can also check us out on Twitter at VISM Studios 14. You can also listen to all the rest of the VISM Radio Network podcasts and radio shows at VISMstudios.com under our projects. Once again, my name is Scott, one of the hosts, co-hosts here, as well as Mr. Don. And we will wish you guys an amazing rest of your weekend, week and weekend coming up. And thank you for tuning in. Also, mark your calendars on April the 11th. We will be at MegaCon, woohoo! Orlando's biggest comic book convention here, and we'll be doing a little show there. So definitely, if you're in the MegaCon, if you're going to be at MegaCon, you're in the Orlando area, please send us a tweet. And we'll definitely like to meet you there. So once again, this is Inside the Movies and More with VISM Studios, and you guys have a great day.